Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Joe at RTE.ie, and our special WhatsApp number for our voice messages. Send us a voice message on 087 184 3709, and that is specifically set up for stories about the menopause. And it looks like the menopausal taboo is at last, as far as this programme is concerned, in terms of the volume of calls, is getting the kicking it so long deserved, that so many people didn't talk about it. GPs need more education on it, and HRT, the prescribing of same, needs to be updated, to say the least. Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What age were you when you started the menopause, Anne?
I was in my 40s. I was 40. And I had my hormone levels checked with the doctor, and they confirmed that I was starting the menopause. And within the next couple of years, I went into menopause, and I just had such a bad time, just really uncomfortable in my body, and hadn't a clue really what was going on. Mm-hmm. So I went back to the doctor, and I was in bad shape when I went to the doctor. But when I went to the doctor, my normal doctor was out at the time, and he had a locum in, and I said to the doctor, I'm just a bitch. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I can't snap out of it. And I don't know what, I didn't know what was happening to me.
And what
you know?
Did you, Anne, sorry, what did you mean when you said to the doctor, I'm just a B-I-T-C-H?
I was a cranky B-I-T-C-H all the time. I just couldn't. And my family had noticed the change in me.
Yeah.
In actual fact, the morning that I said to my husband, I'm going to go to the doctor today, there's something wrong with me. He was actually lying in bed, and he said, thank God, he said, because it's horrific living with you at the moment. And my husband is the most kindest, gentlest man in the world. I can't believe he's still with me. Yes. And I thank the Lord every day he has stuck by me. And when I went to the doctor, my normal doctor was out and the locum was in, and he was an elderly man. And he held my hand and he said, well, you know, when women get older, they just like to be bitches, and let me walk out the door. It took me another 2 months to build up the courage to go back to the doctor again. And thank God my normal doctor was there. And he diagnosed me within seconds of being clinically depressed. Now, also prescribed me antidepressants, Xanax, sleeping tablets. And I'm also in recovery from an addiction. And he had no problem in giving me Xanax and sleeping tablets, which set me on a course then for the next, I came off the Xanax and sleeping tablets a few years ago because I felt like I was becoming dependent on them.
Yeah.
But they had no problem in just, like, within 2 minutes, and that was it then. I was diagnosed then as being depressed. And I remember crying to my husband that day, like, in saying, like, what else can be wrong with me? Now I have depression. And up until last week, I was driving the car home, and I was listening to your show, and I thought, what are they saying? Because something clicked in my head. And every woman on your show described my life for the last 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
Everything. And the feeling of being lost, not knowing what's going on. Why am I feeling like this? I mean, my family have just been amazing. And, you know, because I have been so cranky and not myself, you know, and can't make a decision. You know, it's just never ending. So listening to your show last week, I couldn't believe it. I rang my daughter straight away and I was like, you need to listen to Joe Duffy. This is me. These women are me. They're talking about me. So here I am now, and I rang my doctors, but of course they're busy with COVID. I live in a rural community, and so I'm going to come off the antidepressants because I really deep down believe I don't have depression. I don't, you know. All those women last week just described absolutely everything that I've had, that I've felt for years.
And HRT.
Yeah, I'm going straight on to HRT.
Yeah.
I'm going straight on to it. I need it.
And Do you mind me asking again and to repeat what that doctor said to you? Because it seems to be, I know there's no typicality, but the doctor held your hand.
Yeah, and he said, well, you know, some women, when they get older, just like to be B-I-T-C-H-E-D and let me walk out the door. And it was, I remember specifically, it was the end of November. And I remember waking up that Christmas morning. I remember waking up and standing in the sitting room, and I had a beautiful tree up, and the family were coming. Yeah. And I thought, will I make it till 6 o'clock this evening alive? I just wanted to die. It was the lowest ebb I've ever felt in my life, and I've had many low ebbs, Joe. Yeah. But that, I was just talking to my daughter here, actually, and she remembers that Christmas. It was the worst Christmas. And in the confusion, well, the doctor said, that you trust them. We trust these doctors. Yeah. So the doctor literally held my hand and said, yes, you are just a cranky, you know, whatever. And you have to get on with it.
And did he use that word, bitch?
Yes, he used it. And it took me until the end of January to get up the courage again to go back to the doctor, you know, and to my normal doctor, thanks be to God. And I did tell him, like, what happened, and he was apologising profusely. But within minutes, like, of him seeing me, he diagnosed me as clinically depressed. Like, I'm a woman in my 40s. I've never had a depression all throughout my whole history, you know. So, like, in hindsight now, like, I should have probably asked to speak to a psychiatrist. But we trust the doctors. We trust them that they're going to put us in the right place. And I actually felt kind of happy that, oh, my God, I've actually got a label. It's great. But actually listening to your show last week, I should never have been labelled without, you know, a proper diagnosis, maybe, you know. Well, to be honest with you, I probably feel a little bit more lost now. I'm like, oh, what do I do? You know, but I will go back to my doctor and sit down and have a real good discussion. But I can see myself going down the route of HRT, definitely. Yeah. I should never have been put on antidepressants. You know, I'm 53 now.
Yeah.
I started taking antidepressants when I was 41. It's crazy. And I've gone back a few times to the doctors, and I said, I don't think these are working for me, you know? Yeah. Like, there was red flags raised all along my history since I started taking them, you know? And they'd change it. They'd put me onto another one. I'd feel great then for a while I was on that one. But I probably should never have been on antidepressants in the first place. But it was an easy thing for them to diagnose me with, you know?
Okay, please stay with us, Anne, if you can. And all last week's programmes are up on podcast. I don't know whether you heard Dr. Deirdre Landy with us on Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, every woman that's contributed has been absolutely powerful. Every woman that has been contributed. But the sense of solidarity and empowerment, I hope, that people are getting to be able to say to the doctor, I want HRT. And if in whatever form, it can be gel, it can be tablets, it can be patches. And as Deirdre pointed out, there's so many variations of HRT available now. The study that apparently 11 years ago said HRT side effect breast cancer has been, again, I'm going on medics, has been totally debunked. And Deirdre pointed out, to our shame, for shame, that Ireland's greatest number one prescription to women who were going through the menopause. And remember, every woman, every woman obviously goes through the menopause. There's 13 million women in the UK at the moment going through the menopause, if you look at the demographics. But Deirdre was saying, to our shame, for shame, that the biggest single prescription for menopause in Ireland is the urine of a horse. Mare's urine whereas we should be using HRT, she believes. These are, again, we have that, as we say, that WhatsApp number. I'll give you out the number in a sec. And here are some examples of the calls we're getting.
I don't want to give me name, but I'm 15 years living in hell, absolute hell, and I'm on a HRT, and it still hasn't helped with the absolute and utter depression, anxiety, and everything else all the women were speaking about. I'm 56 years of age, and I was on premenopause from 43, and I exhausted every single avenue. Psychiatrists, I'm on a very high dose of antidepressants. If I could just do something for the future to help my daughters, to advise them, and hope that they don't have to go through what I'm going through. I was always a very, very vibrant person. Up early, went for my walk, and it's like the aliens came and took me. The GPs are wonderful people and very kind to me. But as the girls were saying on your show, they haven't got the expertise. I just want to get back to be able to function, to go out to my bin, talk to the neighbours maybe and say good morning or good evening. I'm housebound. I'm like a prisoner. It's great for people to have a few quid and they're able to go private. But there has to be somewhere in Ireland, in the name of God, to give women advice that from experts. The most heartbreaking thing is that my children have lost their mother. I'm here in person, but I'm not here the way I was.
There's no comment necessary on the power of these calls. Our WhatsApp line, where you can send a voice message if you feel that's the way you'd like to contribute to the programme, is 087 1843709. 087 1843709. I'm sorry it's not more rememberable or memorable, so to speak, but that's it. 087 1843709. Liz, good afternoon. Stay with us, Aunt. Liz, you say, I thought I was the only woman in the world with it.
Yes, Joe. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I was intrigued listening to your show over the last few days, Joe.
Yeah.
I really felt I was the only person that was as bad. I have serious heat problems.
Yeah.
It all started when I had my son. I was only 29. And I started getting very bad hot flushes and just thought they were going to go away. Thought it was just the birth and after the birth. So it continued. So when I was 31, I was sent to a gynecologist in Dublin. And he just tried me on a few different lots of medication, which never worked. And I went back to my GP then. And she sent me to a different consultant. And he wanted to remove my ovaries and put in estrogen implants.
Mm-hmm.
And my GP, who was a lady, and she said, no, you're too young.
Mm-hmm.
So it continued. It has never went away. But of late, it's much worse because I've had to have a treatment.
Yeah.
I had breast cancer. And I had to have, it was called a Herceptin.
Yeah.
And it drove it into complete overdrive. And since then, it's just been a nightmare. I did try HRT in 2017.
Okay.
And I was going on a cruise and I thought, you know, it's going to be so warm. I just have to do something. So I went to my GP and she sent me to a gynecologist and he said, right, no problem. So I explained like that there was a history of breast cancer in the family. And I said, I just want to go on it to get me over the cruise and when I come back, I'm going to go off it.
Yeah.
So I went on it that was May 2017. And within 2 weeks, the hot flushes were gone. There wasn't a trace of them. So it was absolutely brilliant. So it was on us from May until November. So I was going to go off at Christmas anyway. And then I found a lump. So it went from there. I had breast cancer. So quite naturally then. So I wouldn't entertain like going back on it because there's such a history of breast cancer in my family. But I've tried everything and there's nothing. just even takes the edge off it.
And how are you at the moment, Liz?
Yeah, it's very bad. I find it's destroying my quality of life. I can't ever get any task done in allocated time anymore.
Okay.
And sometimes they're so bad like that, I actually feel a weakness coming on. I just find them so trying, like, I really can't hoover anymore. If I hoovered, like, I would have to drink an average maybe 2-3 glasses of water to hoover a small area. I constantly drink water. I stand outside the door. I never wear socks. It nearly wanted to be snowing before I put on a pair of socks.
Yeah. Liz, stay with us, but I just have to make this. If you're listening in the great, why am I doing this every single day nearly? If you're listening in the greater Dublin area, there's going to be an outage at around 2:10, 10 past 2 in 9 minutes. For more essential work, and they're not to, like, quarter to 2 o'clock is the biggest quarter hour of the day, listening wise, on RT Radio 1. But anyway, can they not even leave it till later? But anyway, there's going to be an outage. No, I've no control over it. As I say, I seem to be doing it every day. It's around 2:10 for more essential work. If your radio goes fuzzy in the greater Dublin area, please retune to 89.1 on your dial. Online listening is not affected, I presume, if you're watching on your TV or whatever. But anyway, and Liz, I had to get that announcement in before 10 past 2. Let's listen to two more messages.
Hi, Joe. I wanted to just tell my story, my experience so far with the menopause. It's been, like all the other ladies have said, absolutely horrendous. My sister had been put on HRT because of her symptoms, so I asked my GP to go down that route, and my GP, who's a lady, said, no, you're far too fat, and you just need to get over yourself and get on with it. At work then, I was suffering mood swings, the hot flushes, my clothes absolutely drenched with sweat, my hair wet, like that. The heat in the office is still, unbearable. And I was told literally that the heat was fine, that there was some, get over it. The heat is perfectly okay. I would have 2 or 3 fans on my desk at all the time. And then I was told that I was upsetting the heating system because of the stress and all that extra pressure because of my physical symptoms. I was, I'd fly off the handle very easily, not with people, but just with frustration of work, and I could maybe give an odd swear or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was told then, brought in and told that my body language was affecting everyone in the office and that I needed to control myself and to start giving a more positive body language and not to be sighing and all the rest of it. I was at my wit's end, but I'm very lucky. I have a great neighbour who is actually a pharmacist, and she recommended a doctor who looks after women's health well. She immediately said, oh my goodness, this is, terrible. And she saw the state of me, crying and shaking, and she put me on the HRT. And I'd say within 2 weeks, I was nearly like, I was like a new person. I mean, I had gotten to the stage where I just didn't want to live. I wasn't going to commit suicide, but I just didn't want to live. I couldn't function. I was so unhappy, and I really thought I was losing my mind.
Everything speaks for itself. There was a powerful article, I referenced it earlier on, in this, the Observer. Now, we've been doing it for a week as it happened, and it has been done before on programmes, I know, with experts, but never have we got the avalanche of calls that we've got in the last week on this particular topic. But anyway, the author of that piece in the Observer magazine, I highly recommend it, is Kate Muir. Kate Muir, good afternoon, Kate.
Hello, very nice to talk to you.
How are you?
I was listening to the ladies' stories and I was, I really, really feel for them.
Yeah.
And, just when you hear it every time, it makes, there's another person kind of in agony and they don't need to be.
Yeah.
So it's both a political and emotional subject right now, I think, for everybody.
And you say in your piece, it's about time we gave the menopausal taboo a good kicking.
Indeed, yeah. I think we've got to get right out there and say that and be really strong about it. Because I think we've been befuddled by the breast cancer statistics for years and years. And obviously there's this much newer HRT, which is much safer. And I don't know whether you are getting decent stuff in Ireland. I suspect not in some areas. Certainly in Scotland, we don't get it. So it's a question of that and getting hold of the best body identical HRT on the NHS, certainly in Britain.
Kate, will you bear with me? Because the line is dreadful, and the piece you wrote and what you're going to say, I think, is so powerful. It needs to be given justice with a better line, and we'll do that hopefully over the break. 1850 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
As you know, for the last week or so, since that first call on the menopause from Sally Ann, we've been inundated. We're now talking to Kate Muir, who's written a piece in a UK newspaper. The Observer circulates here as well. Not to a great extent, but at the weekend. Kate, just tell us your own story. Maybe that's the way, and hopefully the line holds with us. Sure. Just tell us your own story.
Is that better now? Can you hear me better?
Yeah, far away, yeah.
Good. The piece is available in The Guardian online.
Oh, great, great.
You should just log in and put my name in and menopause, and it will come up.
Great.
And indeed, on Sunday morning, it was the most read piece on The Guardian website above the elections, which makes me think something is happening here in the same way as it's happening in your program. Anyway, my own story was I was, you know, in my late 40s and I started getting heart palpitations and I'd wake up in the middle of the night with panic attacks and, you know, just a throbbing heart. And I just thought, oh, I must be ill. I went into my doctor and she said, oh, I'll give you an ECG. And then she said, nothing wrong with your heart. Off you go. And I only found out a few years later, once I went on HRT, that 11% of women get heart palpitations in perimenopause and menopause. And there's nothing wrong with your heart. It's just your estrogen levels plummeting. And I was thinking, why doesn't my doctor know that? And I went in a couple of times myself to get HRT because I was having a difficult time with hot flushes. But you know, the doctor would send me away with a Mirena coil. I never quite got estrogen. I never knew what to ask for. And I also thought HRT will give me breast cancer that so many people do. And I just had those headlines seared on my retinas from years ago. And I never questioned them. And now I've questioned them as a journalist. And it's completely changed my life and my attitude to this whole story. And I realized that actually HRT for most women has incredible benefits. And, you know, it's giving us our hormones back. And we were never meant to live this long. You know, we were supposed to, you know, in Victorian times, we were dying at 59. Nobody noticed their menopause. They just finished having babies. Now we're going to live, you know, the second half of our lives. And there are 4.5 million women in the UK in the workforce who are menopausal. And I know one of the ladies just before was talking about, you know, menopause at work and having fans at her desk. And we're doing tougher jobs than we ever did before as well. You know, we're expected to deal with, you know, I mean, in my case, my mum was dying of Alzheimer's. So I was going up and down to Glasgow to look after her. And she had some carers, but, you know, that kind of chaos, which we all know. And then I had three kids and my job was being the Time film critic. So I had a full-time job. And everything fell apart. My marriage fell apart. Eventually, I left my job. And it was only at the other side of that huge mess, and it's a mental and physical thing, I think, for so many women, that I realized I really didn't want this to happen to other women. And there was one story. I went to this fantastic doctor who's a campaigning doctor. She has a website called menopausedoctor.co.uk. It's very, very good for symptoms and advice.
Louise News, she was mentioned here last week. Louise
Newton. Yeah, she's brilliant. And I went to her, and I'd been ill, and I'd had
all sorts of, you know, vaginal bleeding. I'd been for all sorts of tests. I'd been on the wrong HRT. I got privately. It was just a disaster. And she gave me the proper NHS regulated stuff, sorted me out. And then she told me this story. And the story was about a woman who had been at home for 7 years, not left her house. Mm-hmm. And she'd been on every single kind of antidepressant. And she'd been diagnosed with kind of incurable depression. And they'd given her 12 sessions of electric shock treatment in her in a mental hospital as an outpatient, sent her back. And she just basically sat in her chair and she couldn't walk her dog. And then she started reading up about it. She tried to kill herself at one point. And then when she came out the other side of that, she thought, I can't let this happen to myself. It can't be right, because I wasn't a depressed person before, just like one of your listeners was saying. And so she Googled everything and she found out about kind of hormonal depression and menopausal depression and how it was different from, you know, regular depression. And she, this amazing thing she did, she couldn't leave her house because she was agoraphobic. So she and her husband mortgaged part of the house, yeah, and they got a camper van to go to Louise Newson's surgery in Solihull at that point. And she got out of the camper van, went in. So Louise got prescribed, came out, went home. About a week later, she walked her dog for the first time, yeah, and went out.
As you point out,
and that's 7 years.
Yeah. And as you point out in the article as well, Kate, so I've tweeted the article now during the break on at Joe Liveline and at RT Liveline as well. The article in full, it really is worth reading. And as it happened, you it was published on Sunday while we were. That's why it jumped out at me. Kate, you also talk about the inequality that women without money are in even more difficulty.
Yep. Huge class divide on HRT, and all, you know, all the women in Hollywood who look that great at 60, they're not just using face cream, are they? You know, and they're not that, you really need it to keep your health together. And I think these, you know, when you go into, we certainly looked into, because I was making this documentary with Dizina McCall about HRT and the menopause. And one of the things we researched was an area of Glasgow, Kilmarnock, and lots of women there were just thrown on antidepressants. And in those areas which are got the highest poverty level, women are more likely to be given antidepressants and less likely to be given the good HRT. They're given the old oral HRT, the old combined kind. And we know now, and the science has proved it, and the British Menopause Society says it, that, you know, transdermal HRT in patches or gel or spray, but through the skin, is far safer because it's better for your heart better for your body. And it's just, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? You don't want to put this stuff through your liver. You want it just to go straight into your bloodstream. You know, it's your hormone. You're getting your hormone back into your bloodstream. So it really is the very people who are more likely to have a heart attack, who are having a tougher time, who are living in poverty, are the people who, in Britain certainly, are being given the old HRT. And my suspicion is, and I'd love to find out more, and I know there's great campaigning in Ireland on this, and there's the Irish menopause, and I see everybody on Instagram talking about it. I think you have many of the same problems over there.
Absolutely. Including you point out, and we addressed it on Friday, specifically on the programme, you pointed out about the GP module, so to speak, and the menopause is optional.
Oh, well, that is hilarious. Yeah. So we were investigating it in the programme, and I don't believe that they're not taught a separate menopause module. Yeah. And then I went into the GP's core curriculum, which is online, and I looked for menopause and I couldn't find it. And then I found a section on breast and gynecology. So I looked down breast and gynecology and I found a section called other. And in the section called other, I did find a mention of the menopause. But it doesn't always get taught and it doesn't get taught very well. And we just know that so many women are being turned away by their GPs and they don't know about the good HRT. And they don't know about menopause symptoms, like my doctor who said, you know, go and have an electrocardiogram, you know, and people being sent away with antidepressants when you could try HRT, and if it didn't work, then you'd know within a month, and then people could try other solutions. And also, there's a very interesting thing. There was a lady on who was talking about breast cancer there as well, and Certainly Dr. Louise Newton has a booklet which is really worth looking at on her website with the latest science on dealing with menopause after breast cancer. And it's very good. And there are certain kinds of breast cancer in some women who are now taking HRT after breast cancer. And it's a complicated choice, and you've got to talk to your doctor. But it's not the, you know, in many ways, it's not the end of the world. And I was also taught, I was, breast cancer is among us if we're 50-something.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I've got five friends who've had it, and one died, and the other ones are all fine. But we did quite a fun thing, actually, for my book that I was writing about the menopause that I haven't quite finished yet,
okay.
Which is we tested CBD oil. It's good capsules, not the rubbish you get down the market that could be anything in it, but it was actually from quite a good company, and it was quite expensive. But I tested it on my friend, and she hadn't slept for ages, and she's on the post-breast cancer drugs, and she started sleeping again. And, I mean, who knows? Everybody's different, aren't they? But it's a really interesting thing to think about, the CBD oil and whether it works. You know, the non-cannabis kind, the
same kind. Yeah, and I'd say the verified and validated. But you say at the end, just finally, we are witnessing a tipping point, the rise of menopause power, a growing activist movement, which will change the change in the same way that period power fought period poverty and stigma. In the reaction to your article in The Observer on Sunday, Kate, I presume that's even more concrete in your head that we are reaching, you believe, a tipping point.
It's just massive. I put on like 2,000 people on my Instagram. But, you know, just people are talking about it, and it's so resonated, all these messages from people. As it's happening on your program too, I think, and it has to come from the women up, because it's not coming from the medical establishment down. And they're still looking at these old trials from 20 years ago on a different kind of drug.
Okay.
And I think we deserve a better... We deserve better drugs and better care, and we're half the population, and also all our husbands and partners would love that too. You know, that's really, really important for relationships. And certainly I lost my own marriage during the menopause, and, you know, part of it's marriage and part of it's menopause, but you know, it's it really causes these enormous rifts in people's lives. It's very important that we think about that.
Kate, thank you so much. The Vina McCall's program, Channel 4 is available here, as you know, is on Wednesday evenings. And it's also on the All 4 player as well. Kate, thanks again, and we'll keep in touch. And it's a powerful, powerful piece. That's Kate Muir. Kate's article, I've just tweeted it at Joe Liveline and at RTE Liveline.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RTE, that I just some breaking news. The coroner, you know, there was an inquest, a long, long inquest into the Ballymurphy massacre, as it's known. And I'm just reading from, pardon me, my own book with Freya McClemens about the children killed in the Troubles. And we wrote in our bullet points, again, pardon the pun, for 1971, violence in the 48 hours after the introduction of internment leaves 17 people dead, 11 of them civilians shot by the British Army's parachute regiment of West Belfast in what would become known as the Ballymurphy Massacre. Well, it was a massacre. The coroner has stated quite clearly every one of those 11 civilians that were shot were entirely innocent. That is a milestone in one sense. It doesn't bring anyone back to life of the nearly 4,000 people killed in the Troubles. But the coroner their verdict is that the 11 civilians shot by the British Army Parachute Regiment in 1971 in Ballymurphy, including a priest, that might jog people's memory, were entirely innocent.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Joe Duffy! Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe at RT.ie. Amy O'Neill. Amy, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. Your story, please, Amy.
Okay, so in 2019, okay, I was diagnosed with premature ovarian insufficiency, which brings on the early menopause. So, yeah, I'm 33 next month and I'm perimenopausal. Uh-huh. I've been on the HRT for about 4 months now.
And how's that affecting you, Amy?
Well, to start with, obviously with the premature ovarian insufficiency, it causes infertility. So having to deal with that, as well as the early menopause, it's been very difficult. Basically, it started in about 2018. I'd had the Mirena coil out, and I went about 8 months without having a period, so I went to see my GP. We did some regular blood tests, and I was told everything was fine, nothing to be alarmed about. But actually, looking back, my FSH level was up in its 70s, so that should have been recognised and pointed out. So I went another 12 months, and it was National Fertility Week, so I went for an AMH test. Right. And that's when I found out what my situation was.
And I see you're a chef, so you're working in hot conditions, to say the least.
Yeah. So the symptoms had started, but you know, I passed it off as possibly anxiety or, you know, maybe becoming overwhelmed by things. So the hot flushes, the lack of energy, the low mood, it didn't just affect my personal life, it affected my work life. I was newly married at the time when I'd got diagnosed. My mood was low. I was very angry. You know, I knew there was something wrong, but I couldn't figure out what it was. And I kept saying, something doesn't feel right. Something's not right.
Yeah, you're on HRT, so hopefully.
I am now,
yeah. Okay, Amy, stay with us. Let's listen to more voice messages.
I had a hysterectomy at 36 years of age, and I was put on HRT till I was 40. Since then, I've had the restless leg syndrome. I've had pain, depression, no libido, brain fog, dryness, kidney problems. I also have been diagnosed now in the year 2000. They diagnosed me with fibromyalgia because I've pain everywhere. I don't have hot flushes, but what I do have is I am frozen all the time. The problem with me now is the awful dryness that is so sore, the lack of libido, and I'll be 40 years married in 2 years' time, and it's playing havoc with my marriage. And I am identifying with so many people here. I thought I was going mad. It's no energy. It's the weight up and down like a yo-yo. You know, your life is gone. My life has been gone for the last, I don't know how many years now. So thank you very much for covering this.
Okay, and this is a letter we got.
Listening to everybody, I'm 50. I'm postmenopausal, I think. I started having symptoms when I was about 40. And I've had many, along with all the other callers, panic attacks, ended up in hospital A&E thinking I was having a stroke, huge anxiety. I'm on antidepressants. And I have a 14-year-old daughter, and we're very open about everything, which is, I think, really, it's the way we need to be as a society. I remember as a child having to, you know, crumple up my sanitary towel and discreetly put it away so that my dad or my brothers wouldn't see it. Now, nobody particularly, I wouldn't have gotten in trouble the other way, but it was just, you hid it. So therefore, what? It's something that you're brought up to feel somewhat ashamed of in some daft way. These are the conversations we need to be having.
Okay, and more to come after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Apologies, we're a bit disjointed. Well, I sound disjointed because of that outage in the greater Dublin area of all perpetrated on us by RTE, bizarrely. It's necessary maintenance. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Joe. Thank you for taking my call.
I'm sorry for holding you there. Your experience, please, Mary.
Was unbelievable. I had a full hysterectomy at 37 years of age. And thankfully, I had two beautiful children before that. Mm-hmm. And I was told after that I would never be able to have children again. And after the hysterectomy, which was full, and by the way, the surgeon also asked me, when we take you in for surgery, do you want to have your cervix removed as well? So, I mean, Joe, I was on my own. I didn't know what to do. And I just said, look, do whatever you have to do. And I just thought I was going to... I was in a state of complete shock. Mm-hmm. So I came out of the operation not too well. I had a lot of hematomas afterwards and had to be brought back into hospital. I had an implant, HRT implant, which didn't work because I went into complete menopausal sweating, night flushes, feeling sick, but not well. And so I went back to my GP and they put me on patches. They took the implant out, went on patches. Patches worked. They were great. Yeah. I went on to a higher dose.
Okay.
And fantastic. I was like a new woman. I felt terrific. My sleep pattern changed, my mood changed, I had no depression, nothing, mm-hmm. absolutely nothing. I was on it for 17 years. I had to have a bowel operation, which wasn't great, and they actually took me off the HRT, and my health just plummeted. I went back into... you know, mood swings, depression. Doctors put me on antidepressants, which are dreadful things to take. And I thought I was just going crazy.
And can you? What's the situation now, Mary, in terms of HRT?
Well, they've just said because of my age that. Because I'd been on it for 17 years, that they can't put me back on it again. But my life was totally... I mean, I was only 7.5 stone, always very slight. I'm short, I'm only 5'1". And, you know, since they took me off the HRT, my weight is completely doubled. I do not... I'm a very, very good eater in, you know, in a good way. Like, I only eat salad. I don't eat crisps, cakes, biscuits, chips, nothing. I basically live on salad and fish. And I only eat once a day. But my weight is, like, astronomical. And I know it's because of the HRT. Because if they had left me on HRT... the way I was, I would have been fine.
Yeah. Now, we can't give advice here, but what I will repeat something that Dr. Deirdre Lundy told us on Friday's programme, and it was a similar scenario.
Yeah, you see, I was afraid to ring you because I've been living with this for the last 17 years, and it's been horrendous.
Yeah.
And I've become like nearly a recluse because I don't want anybody to see me. And honestly, Joe, I mean, I'm a hairdresser, owned a salon with my ex-husband and restaurants, and I just drew myself away. I just didn't want anyone to see me.
The doctor Lundy said on Friday, Mary, would you get a second opinion?
Well, I think I'll have to do something because, yeah. Honestly, so, I mean, if your listeners are out there, this was the most horrendous thing. This operation should never have had this hysterectomy.
Mm.
You know, I really shouldn't. It should not have happened to my body. You know, and my body has never been the same. And I don't know.
The other group is the Irish Menopause Facebook group. We mentioned here this last week and been mentioning every day in terms of getting support from women. It's open to women only. And it's from what the feedback we're getting the last week that it's extraordinarily helpful if you have access to Facebook. But again, I go back on what Dr. Lundy said last week, and that it's get a second opinion. Things have moved on so quickly about HRT, and it's all scientifically validated, and they're not relying on studies which were skewed, according to a number of medics that were conducted about 11 or 12 years ago. Mary?
Because, you know, honestly, Joe, before you go there, you know, if they hadn't have taken me off HRT, my life would have been just, you know, on a level where it was really good. And, you know, exercising and doing everything, you know, working away and looking after my children and my parents and all of that. And this was just, when they took me off it, it was like my life just mashed. I just went into, you know, like they say, I don't know, like withdrawal symptoms, but my whole life crashed down.
Yeah.
No sleep, depression, crying, suicidal, not being able to go anywhere, didn't want to talk to anybody. You know, it was just a horrendous shock to my body.
Mary, you were not alone.
Mm.
You were not alone. Now, that in itself doesn't help you in terms of your situation, but please try, and if you get access, there's loads of websites, even that article I've tweeted today from Kate Muir, and she mentions the doctor that's been mentioned here, and Louise Newson, N-E-W-S-O-N, and she has a pretty extensive website on the menopause as well. Mary, thanks indeed. Thanks indeed, Mary.
Well, thank you so much, Joe, for taking my call, because I think it's the most brilliant, not brilliant, not the correct word to use, but, you know, you've brought this subject up for us women, which has been absolutely horrendous for all of us. And it's extremely important because a lot of men do not understand what it's like for a woman. They just don't.
And Mary, thank you for making the call, because that's made all the difference. Mary, thank you so much, and solidarity.
And thank you for taking my call as well.
Thank you, Mary.
Take care.
Bye bye. You too.
I love your show. It's
you're
great.
Very
thank
kind.
You.
Thanks,
thank
Mary.
You. Thank you. Thank you.
Stay well. Barbara, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. How are you at the moment?
I'm fine, Joe. Well, I'm not too bad. I'm just telling your researcher, like, I'm on the menopause. But my mother, I spoke to you before about dementia, because I live in Ballyferm, and my mother got dementia at 55.
Yeah.
And I remember my mother having these flushes. I remember us standing or sitting at the kitchen, and I remember the sweat pouring down her face. And I mean, it was just water coming down her face. But anyway, we were getting a bit concerned about it because of the memory. The memory was very bad. And we went through all the relevant tests. And we were told that she was in the early stages of dementia. But through her blood work, they had discovered that there was no estrogen in her body.
Okay.
And she had suffered with high blood pressure most of her life. So HRT wasn't even recommended. But at that stage, Joe, it was too late. She was already in the early stages of it. And just listening to your callers there since last week, I mean, I'm firmly convinced now that it was the menopause that caused her.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a sister now who's exactly the same age as my mother. And she had a surgery ovaries removed 4 years ago. And she's in the menopause. She went into it the following day. And she is going through hell. She can't take HRT at the moment because they can't get her blood pressure under control.
Yeah.
She's had to be diagnosed with arthritis. She's had to be diagnosed with another form of fibromyalgia. She's going to get an MRI on her feet because she can hardly walk. Mm. And it's basically all down to the menopause. And I just think for women, you know, this has gone on for too long. And something has to be done. A clinic has to be set up because women are losing their minds with this. And as some of the women have said, they've been fobbed off or taken antidepressant. I mean, I was here on Sunday and I counted, you're probably going to laugh, I counted here on Sunday going around the house. I took 14 flushes throughout the whole day. And I mean, you know, any woman will tell you a flush, it's if you're out somewhere or you're sitting in company, it's just horrible. And you feel embarrassed. You feel, oh God, get me out of the room. I don't want to be here. And I mean, I'm not even as bad as what my sister is now.
Yeah.
And I hope I never get to that stage.
Yeah.
But if I need to go on HRT, even though I was told I had a bit of a heart condition, which I think now, Joe, to be honest with you, was down to the menopause. Because I was diagnosed with that 5 years ago. I'm 58. I mean, I've never had any. I cycle, I keep myself fit. So now I'm convinced myself it is down to the menopause.
Okay.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Well spoken, Barbara. A difficult subject, but so well spoken. Barbara, thanks again. Thanks
and
again.
Thanks for taking me call, Joe.
Thanks for
appreciate it.
Thanks for making the call.
Thank you.
Kind regards
bye
to you.
Bye.
To you and yours. Marie is in the southeast. Barbara's in Dublin. Marie, your story, please.
Hey, Joe. Thanks very much for taking my call. Only in solidarity to all the ladies that I have been listening to.
Okay, Marie, I'm not going to continue with that call until we fix it. I promise I'll come back to you. Breda Coughlin in Limerick.
Yes.
Breda, your story, please.
Yeah, my story, Joe, is that at 37, I had a hysterectomy.
Okay.
And at 25, I had a thyroid operation. So all the hormones were connected, really. But when I had my hysterectomy, my ovaries were taken and everything.
Right.
Nobody said anything to me that I should go on anything. And then we moved to England, and this was maybe a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mother died, and I came home. And when I came back, I just felt totally claustrophobic. I couldn't leave the house on my own. My legs were going from under me. I just felt completely at a loss. But luckily enough, I went to a doctor, and I just said to her, whatever's wrong with me, I said, it's out of my control. And she put me on HRT.
Okay.
And I never looked back since.
Great.
Then we moved back to Ireland, but every doctor I ever go to, every one of them say, you can't be on HRT. So I had listened to a lady going back a long, long time ago, and she had researched HRT so much, and I thought to myself, well, I'm going to go by her. I'm not going to go by the doctors. And then I had to come off of HRT because I was having a hip replacement. And for 6 weeks, I nearly went off my mind. It was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I'm now 71. And I won't come off of HRT. I keep telling every doctor, I know it suits me.
Yeah.
I'm able to cope.
Yeah.
And why should I come off of it?
It's your body.
It's my body. And they keep, you know, they keep saying, one doctor said to me, well, you do know about breast cancer. I said, listen, I said, I can't sit at home without HRT and worry, am I going to get breast cancer? I want to survive. I just want to be able to get on with my life. And I do feel that I have a very good quality of life. And I feel sorry for these women. They have to assert themselves with these doctors. They really have got to say, you know, it's my body. And, you know, why do you feel I should come off something that really is suiting me? It's very sad.
And did any of them say, no, we're not going to give you a prescription?
No.
Good, good. Well, you put your foot down.
I put my foot down and I said no. And they keep saying to me, well, you're on it a long, long time. Now, my last doctor, he said to me, well, you'll probably go mad, he said, if you weren't on it now. Well, I said, look, all our bodies are different. But I felt, because I'd had a thyroid operation as well, that it was all hormones, you know, they were all connected. And I did have a very severe hysterectomy. I'd had my hysterectomy, we'll say today, and 2 days later a clot travelled. And again, it was very bad. Mm-hmm. And I had, for years before that, I was losing an awful lot of blood. And the gynaecologist was very good. But again, when I came up, he never said to me, you'll have any symptoms, you know. You'll be okay now after the hysterectomy. So when you go home, you think, oh, that's great now, you know, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I'd had 3 children, so I considered myself very lucky. But I just feel that it's very sad that there's something there to help every woman. And yet, they're not given that help. Can any doctor put himself in the mind of a patient that comes to them and says to them, I can't cope, my legs are going from under me, I don't want to leave the house on my own. And at the time, I was running a business, and I had to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel they're just not listening. You know, if something is there to help somebody, well, you give them that medication. And you try them maybe on, there's one will suit me, there's something that won't suit another. But when I hear these women now, and, you know, it's absolutely unbelievable because their whole families are suffering. Because your mental health goes out of control.
Yeah.
You have no control. It's as simple as that. So everybody is suffering who's around you.
Yeah, as we're hearing again and again and again.
Yes.
Stay with us, Breda, because I want to bring in Ellen
after
we do some more voice messages.
Hi, Joe. Catherine here. I've been just listening to your show and the tears rolling down my face. My life changed drastically after my 50th birthday. I started to take panic attacks. I started to take hot flushes, night sweats. I've total insomnia. I'm lucky if I get 2 hours of broken sleep a night. My libido, totally gone. Mood swings. I have restless legs. I've had gum problems. I have pains in my feet. Burning feet. Heart palpitations. Every bone in my body hurts. I've had weight gain. Absolutely no interest in life. No joy in life. The fatigue is unbearable. I have no concentration. Brain fog. Forgetting where I parked my car. I've been really nervous driving. I've had migraine headaches. Up running to the toilet at night. Digestive problems that just floor me. Very dry, itchy skin. Dry, sore eyes. Irregular heartbeat. I could just go on and on. I've been sent to cardiologists, physiotherapists, gynecologists. I've had colonoscopies. I've been to counsellors, dentists, eye doctors. I've had test after test after test. I've had to give up work with the anxiety and the fatigue and also scared driving. My doctor just sends me to another ologist of some kind when I do go to her. She won't hear of HRT because of a family history of cancer. And I've just realised, listening to your programme at the moment, I'm not going mad. I'm going through menopause. Thanks for doing this programme. I am now 54 and my life has been hell for the last 6 years.
Speaking volumes. Ellen, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
How are you? Your story, please, Ellen.
My story is very different to the all these amazing and courageous ladies you've had on since last Wednesday. My periods stopped suddenly in February 2008. Mm-hmm. And after about 4 months, and I felt fantastic, I felt great, and I went to my GP, and she said, I explained that I had no periods, and she said, maybe going to the menopause. And I said, well, I don't have any of the common symptoms. So she took some blood tests to check the hormone levels. And then she called me the following week and she said that, Ellen, it's the blood tests have indicated that you're through the menopause.
Yeah.
And I said, this is unbelievable. And then, because I felt fantastic, I felt great, absolutely no symptoms whatsoever. Okay. And then towards the end of 2008, I started to experience issues with my eyes. Like my eyes were burning, stinging, and so sore, and they just felt so dry. And they were really, really very, very irritated. So I went to my GP, and he was very, very good, and he prescribed drops, and he said it's probably allergies. But my eyes actually deteriorated, and they were so bad and so dry that they actually were splitting at sides. So then I was referred, I was absolutely desperate, I was referred to an ophthalmologist who diagnosed severe dry eye.
Okay.
And then around that time then, my mouth started to get extremely dry. It was just unbearable because I was reading the church and I actually had to give it up. Because my mouth is so dry, because I was drinking lots of water. So then I was back and forth to my GP, and he said, I noticed you're drinking lots of water. And I said, yes. And he said to me, I think you might have Sjogren's syndrome. Okay. And I said, what's that? And then he said, have you any other symptoms? And I said, actually, yes. I can't sit. I can't walk. Are all around my vaginal area, all the skin had all broken.
Mm-hmm.
It was so dry.
Yeah.
And so then I had a male doctor for my general doctor. He was my general GP. And then a female doctor was my gynae. So I went to her and she examined and she said that she diagnosed vaginal atrophy.
Okay.
But it was, the whole thing was just, my life was turned upside down and it was so debilitating. I was desperate, I was miserable and I was exhausted. And then at about 2 years, maybe 3 years, I was diagnosed with, it's unusual and it's very rare and it's usually women. And it's usually after the menopause when the estrogen level drops and it's Sjogren's syndrome.
Yeah.
And so, like 13 years on, I have to take eye drops, instill sterile, preservative-free eye drops in my eyes every hour. And I have to use, like at the moment, when speaking to you, I'm drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the day, I must use a biotin gel, a saliva substitute. And then when I was diagnosed originally with the vaginal atrophy, I was put on local estrogen, Ovestin, but I've come off that now. And then I saw a wonderful lady in Holler Street and she recommended Silk, which I actually at the time I couldn't buy in Ireland. I had to buy it online from Silk UK.
What is it, Ellen, sorry?
SYLK.
Okay.
And I have to use it every day, and it's just saves my life. It's SYLK. But I have to say, my medical team, from the time my GP, the male GP, is now retired, and he was just so kind, and he was just amazing. And then my female GP at the time as well, and she's now retired as well. And this is like 2008, 2009, mm-hmm. 2010, 2011. Now, my male GP retired 3 years ago, but he was absolutely so supportive, and my female GP. And then the ophthalmologist I saw as well, he's in Gorey. He's well known, and he was fantastic. And then I'm seen very regularly for my eyes, because my eyes, I get constant eye infections. Like in January, February, March of this year, I had constant eye infections, and my left eyelid droops. And it's all because I had no other symptoms of menopause, because of the menopause,
mm-hmm.
after my period stopped. It's an unusual one.
But it's unusual, but it warrants its own complete section on the HSE website, and it goes into great detail. It's
Sjogren's syndrome, okay. And it's pronounced Sjogren.
Okay, and it affects it's primarily
Sjogren.
Women.
I spelled Sjogren.
Yeah.
And when I was diagnosed originally, there was nothing on the HSE website. My mouth is very dry now, Joe. I have to drink water.
Take your time.
So I'm speaking to you now. I have to drink water.
Yeah.
Because my mouth is so dry. And but now I live with it. But okay. And my husband is fantastic.
Yeah.
From the time of the onset, he was just... But I was very lucky. My GP, I don't know if I can name him. He's now retired.
Yeah,
he was
course.
Absolutely wonderful. And my female GP. Yeah. But the GP, and he was very quick in 2010, 2 years on, because he was treating me for the eyes, and then the doctor, the ophthalmologist in Gorey. And between the two of them, they said, this lady, we think she has Sjogren's. But my team were just fantastic.
Okay.
And in the eye and ear, they're just absolutely, I get fantastic care.
Yeah.
But I was very lucky with my GP that time. He was very quick, because he put together the eyes, the nose, and my nose as well. My nose is very dry as well. And my skin and my body is so dry.
And then you say, because of the treatment you got and the people you met, you're very lucky. But
I was very lucky because it was picked up. Because my GP, who is now, and I have to, he was just fantastic.
Yeah.
But my back, when initially for the first 3 years, I was desperate.
Yeah.
And my whole life was turned upside down, and it affected my day to day life.
Of course.
And but particularly the eyes. And now, if I don't put in my drops, I have to put in my drops every hour. I would just get eye infections.
Yeah.
But even when I put them in, and at night then I have to use an ointment at night, Hylo Night at night. But I live with it now. I live with Sjogren's.
Yeah, okay.
But definitely it was because I didn't have any of the common symptoms. And if anything, I was freezing cold. I used to be so cold.
Yeah, that's...
And still very cold. Yeah. I wear layers of clothes. It's extraordinary.
Okay, Ellen, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ellen, for introducing
thank
that.
You.
Thank you. Marie again in the Southeast. Apologies, Marie, before the live went. What did your gynecologist say to you about HRT?
Cutting a very long story short, Joe, my gynecologist I attended with hemorrhaging difficulties. And she said to me, I was on HRT, I was using the patch, which you have to use in conjunction to the Mirena coil. They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, I'm going to perform a DNC, but I am refusing to put the Mirena coil back in. I'm adamant that it's not a case of if you get cancer, it's when you get cancer.
From
HRT. This was only a year ago.
It's not a question of if you get cancer, it's when you get cancer.
That's exactly what she said to me.
But the medics on this program, who specialise in menopause issues, they're adamant that this is...
My struggle started 5 years prior to that, and much like the other women, I found with the patch I had a bit of a quality of life. She knew that. So when she used that phrase to me, I got very, very upset.
I can imagine.
There was a nurse who was there and heard her and witnessed it, and she said to me, she was trying to console me, and she's like, I said to this gynae, I said, I cannot operate without this patch. I have to have it. And I was upset. And the nurse said to me, don't mind her. I'm on it myself. It's quality, not quantity.
Yeah.
And that reassured me.
Okay.
So I went back to my GP, and the GP said, you go have your DNC, and I will reinsert the marina coil for you, which she did.
Well done.
So
it made a difference.
Well, I couldn't be without it. I've tried on a few occasions, and my estrogen levels plummet like the other women, and I cannot get out of the bed.
Okay.
Now, the first GP, when I started going through the menopause 5 years ago, female as well, told me to get on with life. I have four children. Get on with life. And I changed GP. So I think what women are experiencing is just absolutely, in this day and age, it's just horrendous.
Yeah. Beyond belief. Marie, I forgot to go, but I see Caroline is saying there, she's just back from the menopause doctor. She was charged, consultant, I was charged €200 for the visit. Now I have to pay around €60 per month for HRT in the chemist. It's not covered on medical insurance. It's not very, very expensive, and not everyone can afford this. And I have to make up to my hours, obviously, to work more hours. To afford this. Okay, lots more coming in. Mark McGrath was on sound. Richie Byrne is our researcher. Annette Egan produced. All will be up on the podcast, as well as all those contact details. And Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.